single word, but I surrendered to preach right around Christmas of 2012. And after that time, the Lord started opening many doors. We started going into nursing homes, started going into the regional jail, started going into the Haven Arrest Homeless Mission down in Bristol. And wasn't long after I surrendered to preach, Lord laid it on my heart that we needed to work more with the homeless in our community. So there was a missionary came by the church one night by the name of Kirkendall, and I started talking to Kirkendall, and I told him what the Lord had laid on my heart. Well, he gave me a phone number and a card to Brother Travis Sharp of Unsheltered International down in Alabama. And he said, you need to call this man. You need to talk to him. He's a full-time missionary to the homeless here in America. So I put that card in my Bible because I wanted God to show my wife the same vision. And I put that card in my Bible, and I prayed for about 2 months over that card that the Lord would show my wife. Well, my wife called me one day at work, and she said, Denny, she said, I know what the Lord wants us to do. And I said, you do? She said, he wants us to work with the homeless. I said, you think so? And then she started telling me about this website. And I said, you talking about Unsheltered International? And then she said, yes. She started talking about this man. I said, you talking about Brother Travis Sharp? She said, that's it. And I said, I've been carrying his card around about 2 months waiting on the Lord to show you. And after that, I called Brother Travis Sharp up. And one of the things we're wanting to do, the Lord laid on our heart, we're wanting to open a homeless mission in the Abingdon area for the homeless. We're wanting it to be similar to the Haven Arrest, except we're wanting it to be the Independent Baptist doctrine. We're not wanting to compromise upon the Word of God. But anyway, Brother Travis Sharp, he started a homeless mission down in Augusta, Georgia, out of faith. Just like what the Lord's called us to do, just out of faith, he started this homeless mission. We went down and visited that mission. He's got 50, 60 men down there now. They got women, they got children. The Lord's really blessed them. But that's what the Lord's laid on our heart, to open a homeless mission in this area and to do resource clinics throughout America in the smaller communities. We helped do a resource clinic down in Bristol, Virginia, back in June of last year. A lot of people say, is there a great need in this area? Do you have a lot of homeless? Well, in that resource clinic we did in Bristol, there was 82 people came out that day to the clinic. There was two got saved that day, so I counted the joy as a great need, and we're hoping to do another one down in Bristol this June. And we're going to be going to Pennsylvania, Nottingham, to help do one in April this year. So I just want y'all to pray about that. I know without a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord's called us to do. You know, the Lord tells us over in Jude 22, saying that some have compassion making a difference. I just want to be that some have that compassion make a difference. You know, there's a lot of people down in the jail. I go into the jails and minister to them there. And a lot of those boys in the jail, when they get out of there, they have nowhere to go. You know, a lot of them's been on drugs. Their family don't want them. Nobody wants to help those boys. But I'm telling you, a lot of times they just need a little dose of Jesus. A lot of times, you know, if we just give them a little help, you know, and tell them about Jesus Christ, you know, that's what they need in their life. I believe a lot of times if we just give them a little bit of help, those boys will go out and succeed in life, you know, and that's just what that's what we want to do. Also, Sarah and Mark Moore's with us here tonight. I got a little story to tell about them when I first surrendered to preach. First place the Lord laid on my heart was Abingdon Manor. It's kind of a low-budget nursing home down there in Abingdon. And I'd never been to the place. The only reason I knew it was there is I got lost one day and turned around the parking lot. But anyway, the Lord laid it on my heart to go to this place and to minister to them. So I pulled into the parking lot one day, and my wife was with me, and I just surrendered to preach. And I got out, and I said, I'm going in here for a minute. And she locked the doors. She wouldn't get out. She was afraid of the people around there. But I went into the nursing home, and I talked to them a little bit, and I come back out, got in the car. And I said, all right, honey. I said, we're on the schedule. She said, what do you mean we're on the schedule? And I said, well, I said, we're coming back the second and the fourth Tuesday of every month. And she said, to do what? And I said, well, I'm going to preach. And I said, you're going to sing. Well, her eyes got about that big around. She was scared to death. I was scared to death. I mean, we didn't know what we was doing. But I just knew the Lord led us there for a reason. And it wasn't long after that we ran into Mark Moore and Sarah. We never knew them before that point. They were out of Benham's Baptist down in Bristol on Friendship Road there in Bristol, Virginia. But ran into Mark, and he said the Lord had called him to preach, or called him to sing. That was his ministry. The Lord called him to sing. So he started going into the nursing homes with us, and they've been such a blessing to us. I remember one nursing home we went to in particular that, you know, as a young minister, I just felt like throwing in the towel. There was this one place that seemed like nobody wanted to come out. Nobody was interested, and I just felt like quitting. But thanks to them, you know, the encouragement along the way, you know, we got in there one night. I'll never forget, we got in there, and like I say, the Lord just broke out that night, and things started going good, and there's a lady got saved that night. People got to shout, and I tell you what, we had a good service in there. And since that day, we went out to eat, and I told him, I said, that's why. I said, that's why we're there. You know, all them times we'd all thought about just throwing in the towel, but I tell you, since that day, we've had some great meetings in there, seen many souls saved, and the Lord's really blessed us. You know, I don't want to brag on us, but like I say, I surrendered to preach 2012, right around Christmas. In 2013, we saw 29 souls saved. And in 2014, we saw 42 souls saved. You know, it's not bragging on us, bragging on the Lord. We don't do nothing. It's all about Him today. But I just need your prayer support more than anything. Just pray that your prayers would be with us here today. And I'm going to get out of the way and let them sing a few songs, then we're going to preach the words.
Well, thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. Been looking forward to this since it's been scheduled, but you know, I just thank the Lord that I can go all over the country bragging on that one that saved my soul a few years ago. You know, back when I was a little boy, I walked the aisle in a church and thought I made a profession of faith, but later on in life, I got out of church for many, many years, and you know, when I was a little bit older, Sarah and I got together, and we got married, and we started going to churches, going to revivals all over the country, you know, going to gospel singings and seeking God with everything we had. But when I was 42 years old, I got convicted of my sins. I realized I was lost and on my way to hell, and I thank God He didn't give up on me. You know, he kept seeking me out, and He didn't give up on me. And that night, when I was 42 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you so much for that. If somebody had told me a few years ago that I was going to be standing right here tonight, I'd have laughed at them. But, you know, a few years ago, I didn't know anything about a guitar or anything else. But thank God, I just want to go wherever I can and brag on my Savior, my Lord and my Savior. But my name is Mark Moore. This is my wife, Sarah, and this is Melissa. As he said, we call our little group For His Glory. That's why we're here tonight. You know, you can leave here tonight, not know my name, but you better know my Jesus, because that's what matters.
That first Abingdon Manor, the first nursing home that we went to that he's talking about, those people have become more a blessing to us than we are to them. We think about them all the time. And this song, Bought by the Blood, the chorus is what a joy it is to serve Jesus, and I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing. Jesus came down from heaven above, left His home in glory on high, and He came to this world to do the will of His Father. Thank you.
before we do this next song, it's the name of the song is Just Any Day Now. I always like to read this scripture over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Begin reading with verse 13, says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." What comfort it is to know that my Lord is coming back. And I pray that, you know, wouldn't it be good if he'd come back while we're here tonight in his house worshiping him? You know, I can't think of any place I'd rather be than in his house. But I just pray that everybody sitting here tonight is ready if that would happen here tonight. Song, but back when we got together and we were going to churches, going to revivals, going to singings, there's one scripture that every time I heard it, it brought conviction to my heart. And if you hang around me very much, you're going to hear it over and over again. But over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And you know, when I go back to that little time that I was a boy and I think about what that verse was saying, I knew something wasn't right that day. There was no change took place in me that day. But I pray that if you're sitting here tonight, maybe you're sitting there right now and the Lord's dealing with your heart and you can't go back to when a change took place. I pray that before you leave this place tonight that you'll accept my Lord and my Savior before you walk out those doors tonight. But we used to go down to Inspiration Park down in Bryson City, North Carolina, and the Inspiration sung a song. It says, "I have not forgotten." And every time I heard that song, get to this one part in there, there's this little stabbing down inside of me. And I thank God for Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
But you know, hallelujah, 42 years old, and he didn't give up on me. And I just can't thank him enough. I have not forgotten God's only begotten and the price that he paid for my sins. I must not forget and with joy not regret he died on the cross for all men. Lord, I have not forgotten Jesus only begotten. I was lost without hope. When the Lord saved my soul, I remember that hour by his saving power. I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. He was bruised and afflicted as the prophets predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in his agony, there was ransom for me. His blood bought me joy without end. Lord, I was lost without hope.
Lost without hope.
When the Lord saved my soul.
Saved my soul.
I remember that hour by his saving power. I have not forgotten. I'm washed in the blood.
crimson flood. I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. Ooh, ooh, I have not forgotten.
Well, y'all pray for me tonight. I'm really nervous. You know, a lot of people, you know, they talk about their C.T. Townsend or some of these great preachers that you hear about and stuff. But I just want to say what an honor it is to be here tonight with Brother Wayne Grier. You know, I love to hear him on the radio, and he's one of my favorite pastors to listen to. And I just count it a great honor to stand up here behind such a great man tonight. You know, I just want to thank the Lord once again for this honor, for this opportunity. But we're going to take our thought tonight. We're going to start over in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24. And then we're going to go back to John chapter 15 and then into Isaiah 53. So we're going to move around a little bit tonight, but I got to praying about what to preach on tonight. And the Lord just laid it on my thought to preach on my friend. And you know, I went to the dictionary and I looked up the meaning of that word friend. I'm going to give you a definition of friend, and we're going to go into prayer here. But friend is a person attached to another by feelings, affection, or personal regards. You know, I've got a friend tonight. I've got a friend tonight that loves me. A friend tonight that loves me. When nobody else cares, he always cares. It says a patron or a supporter. You know, no matter what I face, what I go through, this friend that I'm talking about, he's always supported me. It says a person who is not hostile. This friend I'm going to tell you about tonight, he's never been hostile. He's always showed love and kindness. Even when I wasn't loving and kind to him, he's always loved me. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to open up here tonight. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the great honor and the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the great spirit very filled here tonight, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Lord, as we go to preach the word of God, Lord, I just pray that you'd come down and speak the words to me tonight, Lord. For you are the preacher, Lord. I'm nothing here tonight, Lord. I just pray for any sin in my life, Lord, any hindrance that may be in the way tonight, Lord, we could get that fixed up, Lord, so I could be a help to the congregation here tonight, Lord. I just pray that you'd be with me tonight, Lord. I pray for that one sitting here that may be lost tonight, Lord, for there's one sitting here amongst us that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I just pray, Lord, tonight would be the night you put that conviction in their heart that they'd come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we just want to thank you for all you're doing and what you're going to do here tonight. We just ask all these things in the name above every name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But over in the book of Proverbs, I said chapter 17. I'm at chapter 18, chapter 18, 24. It says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, tonight I want to tell you about this friend I've got tonight. I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, what kind of friend could you have tonight that sticketh closer than a brother? What kind of friend would that be? Well, if you turn over with me to John chapter 15, verse 13, says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight about a man that laid down his life for everybody. Not only his friends, he laid down his life for everybody, but you've got the choice to make tonight. That choice is, are you his friend? Are you going to be his friend? This man that laid down his life for you tonight. I'm going to tell you about this man. His name is Jesus tonight. If you turn with me to Isaiah 53, you say, what did this man do for me? I'm telling you here tonight, it don't make no difference if you're lost, if you're saved. Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for you today. He gave his life for everyone today. For every single one of us, and he just wants you to be his friend. But if you'll turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. And he hath no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. It says this man, Jesus says, shall grow up before him as a tender plant. As a tender plant. This man, Jesus, was as a tender plant. He knew no sin. He was perfect. He was a perfect creation. He knew no sin. But yet he took the sins of this world upon him. He took the sins of this world upon him. He took my sins and your sins and the sins of this world upon him. If we go down there and read a little bit, it said, we shall see him, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, the world don't desire him today. There was a time in my life that I didn't desire this man Jesus. There was a time in my life that I didn't care for him. But I'm telling you, this man, he gave it all. He paid the price for us today so that we could have eternal life, so that we don't have to go to hell today. It's through Jesus Christ today. It said, if we go on and read, it said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow. He was despised and rejected of men. You know, everywhere we turn today, he's rejected. He's rejected today. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus anymore. You go in your job, they don't want to hear about Jesus. You go in society, they don't want to hear about Jesus. He's rejected everywhere you go. I think about this ISIS we got today. They hate Christians today. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus. But I'm telling you here today that I was in that same boat one time. I was lost on my way to hell, and I didn't desire him. I didn't desire Jesus Christ. But if we go on, it says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That word esteem, and we regarded him not. And we hid, as it were, our faces. You know, I remember a time that I was ashamed. I remember a time that I was ashamed when Christians would come around and they would tell me about Jesus Christ. I remember I used to be so ashamed. I remember a time in my life that I was a lost church member on my way to hell. And I remember going to church, and I'd get out of church on Sunday, and I'd go out here in the world, and I was living like everybody else, doing the things everybody else was doing. But you come talk to me about Jesus, and I was so ashamed. I'd be so ashamed. I didn't want to hear that stuff. I'm telling you today, going to church ain't going to save you. I'm telling you today, going to church don't save you. Being a church member, paying your tithes, that don't save you. You say, what's going to save me? This man, Jesus, you got to be his friend. You say, how do I be his friend? You got to realize that you lost today. Ask him into your heart, this man had paid your price upon the cross of Calvary. If we go on down to verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we hid, or we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace. What's that mean? He took our whipping for us. He took our whipping for us. It says through his stripes we were healed. Through his stripes we were healed. He took that whipping from God. He took that whipping because the Lord knew that he was going to take that perfect sacrifice. He was going to take that perfect lamb. For us to have eternal life. I'm telling you today, we can have that eternal life through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's how we're going to get it today. That's how we're going to get to heaven today. If you know this friend, Jesus, if you know him as your friend today, are you his friend? I'm telling you today, that's how we're going to get to heaven. A lot of people today, they're preaching you're going to get there by water baptism. They're preaching you're going to get there by being a good person. A lot of people today, they're preaching this stuff. If you're good, outweighs you bad, you're okay. But I'm telling you here today, it still takes the blood. It still takes the blood. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to get there today. You're going to get there through those stripes. I'm telling you, he's paid our sin debt. He paid the sin debt for every one of us here today. He paid the price for you. All you got to do is ask him into your heart. It's that simple. It's that easy. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid him up, or laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearer's dumb. So he opened not his mouth. You know, he opened not his mouth. He could have come down off of that cross at any time. He had the power. He could have stopped at any time. He could have come down off that cross, but he loved us so much. He was willing to go all the way. He knew that it was going to take the blood. He knew without that blood we had no hope today. But I'm telling you, because of that perfect sacrifice today, we can have eternal life in a place called heaven. Ain't it good to know today that you don't have to go to hell? Ain't it good to know you say, well, why do you get excited? Because I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell because I can take you back to the place where Jesus Christ saved my soul. I remember what it was like being a lost church member on my way to hell. I was so miserable. I went home from church and I'd lay down at night so afraid. I'd wake up in the middle of the night afraid that I was going to die and go to hell. I'd wake up afraid that the Lord was coming back. But I'm telling you here today, I don't worry anymore. because I know him as my friend today. I got a friend in Jesus. I can take you to the place where Jesus Christ saved my soul. I can take you back to that place. Amen. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget when the Lord started dealing with me. Here I was in church. I started going to church because I had a couple of girls and I knew that they needed to be in God's house. Like the room I told you earlier. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I was in a church service one night. My sister came by. She said, "Bro, you want to get saved?" I said, "Sure." I said, "I want to get saved." I got up out of my seat. I walked up there. Preacher laid his hands on me. And I walked outside the church doors and everybody said, "You're saved. You're all right." And I realized. The Lord can save you at a young age if the Lord is knocking at your heart's door, if the Lord is a deal with you. But I'm going to tell you, that night I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't realize why I was lost. I didn't know anything I was doing that night, but I'm going to tell you. I walked out that church door, everybody said I was saved. It wasn't long. After that, I grew up, I got married. People come to me, talk to me about the Lord, and talk to you about Jesus. I'd say, "Oh, I'm saved. I'm all right." I was living like everybody else. I was doing the things that everybody else was doing out there in the world. But I told them I was saved. I was all right. The Word of God says, "We have got chastisement. You have answered not a son. You have answered not a son." I remember, I can go out here and I can do all them things in the world, but I was saved. I was all right. And I want to tell you, I started going to Beulah Baptist Church, and I started hearing the preacher preach. I remember the place where Jesus Christ saved your soul. Like the brother says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." I'm telling you here today, if you've ever been born again, if you've ever been born, ever been washed in the blood, if you know Jesus Christ, this friend that I'm talking about today, there'll be a place that you can go back to without a shadow of a doubt, where there's a change that took place in your life. You got to be able to go back to that place. You may not know the day, you may not know the hour, but you'll never forget that place as long as you live. I ain't never forgot that place. That old devil, he used to tell me, he'd say, "You can't get saved." He'd say, "You're a church member. Somebody's going to say something about you. Somebody's going to look down upon you. Somebody's going to say something." I'm going to tell you something here today. He's a liar today. He's a liar. I'm telling you here tonight, if the Lord's a knocking at your heart's door, if you realize tonight that there's not a place you can go back to, I'm telling you, you need to make that move. You need to make that move, because I'm telling you here today, Jesus Christ, this friend that I'm telling you about, he's paid the price. He paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. He took you whipping for you. All you got to do today is realize you're lost and ask him into your heart, and you can have that eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get there today. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, "Well, preacher, I've done some bad things." I hear a lot of people out here in the world, they'll say, "I've done bad things, preacher. You don't understand what I've done." And they'll say, "Well, I've got to straighten this up in my life. I've got to straighten that up." I've heard people say, "Well, I've got to quit drinking first." I've heard people say, "Well, I've got to quit cussing first. I've got to quit doing drugs first," whatever it is. Let me tell you something here today. You come to Jesus Christ just the way that you are, and he'll do the cleaning up today. He'll do the straightening up today. If you got something in your life that you're saying, "Well, I've got to work this out. I've got to get this fixed up. I've got to get it patched up first," you'll never make it, because I'm telling you, the only way you're going to make it is through the blood of Christ. Maybe you're sitting here today and you got something in your life, some kind of void. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs. Maybe you're out there today and you're wanting another drink and you're not satisfied, so you're trying another one. Or maybe it's another pill and you're popping another one and you just can't get satisfied, and you got a void in your life that's not full. I'm telling you what that void is. That's Jesus. That void is Jesus, and you'll never be happy until you come to know him. You'll never be satisfied today. I'm telling you today, you need to come to know Jesus Christ just the way that you are. Just the way that you are. Ain't it good tonight to know that we got a friend tonight? We got a friend tonight that loves us so much that he paid our price. I didn't deserve it tonight. I'll be the first to tell you that I deserve hell. But I'm not going to hell because of what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. Not because of anything I did. Not because of what my preacher did. But because of what Jesus Christ did. He paid the way for me. He took my whipping. I'm telling you, it's through his blood today. It's through the blood. I'm telling you today, if you're going to heaven today, it still takes the blood. But over in verse 10 it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong the days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." You know, I don't understand how it could please the Lord. But you know, the Bible says, please the Lord. It pleased the Lord today because he knew, once again, that it was going to take that perfect lamb. He loved us so much. The Word of God says over in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loved us so much that he was willing to give his only begotten Son for a bunch of sinners deserving hell. Because if we're honest tonight, every single one of us sitting in this room, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve tonight. I'm telling you here tonight, we're only going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's through his blood today. That's how I'm getting there today. But that makes me excited today to know about this friend Jesus, to know him, to know that there's a place I can go back to. But I want to ask you the question tonight, are you his friend? Are you his friend? Like I say, he died for everybody. He died for everybody. His desire was that no man would go to hell. That was his desire. He died for every single living being today. And his desire is that you go to this place called heaven. He don't want nobody to go to that place called hell. But I'm telling you here today, if you're not his friend, that's where you're headed. If you're not his friend today, you're headed to a place called hell. Well, you say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. I ain't done nothing really bad. I ain't killed nobody. I'm telling you here today, you could be the best moral person in this world and die and go to a devil's hell. Because I'm telling you, if the blood's not applied in hell, you'll lift your eyes. It's like that rich man said in hell, he lift his eyes. I'm telling you, you'll go to that place called hell if you don't know my friend today. I'm going to turn back to John 15 again. John 15, verse 13. Says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But I ask you the question, are you his friend? Because that next verse says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Has there been a time that you've accepted this friend into your life? Has there been a place that you can go back to where you ask Jesus Christ into your heart? That's the most important decision you'll ever make here today. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you're not guaranteed the next breath out of your lungs. We're not guaranteed the next breath. A lot of people saying, well, preacher, I'm going to put it off. I've heard people say, I'm going to get saved before I die. I'm going to get saved on my terms. I'm going to tell you something today. You may and you may not. You may and you may not, because I'm telling you here today, you're going to get saved on the Lord's terms. I'm telling you today, the Lord has to be drawing you. The Lord has to be dealing with you. I'm going to tell you today, that's how you're going to get saved. But I've heard people say, I'm going to wait till the last minute and say, forgive me. I'm going to tell you, it don't work like that. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord's dealing with you, when the Lord's drawing you, you better move, because we're not guaranteed that He'll deal with you again. I'm telling you here today, it's very important. It's very important when the Lord's drawing. When the Lord's drawing, you better move. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. There's a lot of things in this world we can gamble on, but don't gamble on your salvation, because it don't make no difference how many good deeds you've done. I've heard people, when they pass away, they'll say, well, go pray for them. It's too late. It's too late, because when that last breath's gone, it's either heaven or it's hell. There is no in-between. There is no in-between. And how do you get to heaven? Be a friend of Jesus. Be a friend of Jesus. There's got to be a place where you saw Him through the eyes of faith. The Word of God says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Jesus Christ gave us that gift through His blood. He gave us that gift through His blood. All we got to do is believe. That grace was that love that He had for us. That grace was the love that the Father had for us. He paid our sin debt. All we got to do is see Him through the eyes of faith. I've never seen Him with my physical eyes, but I can take you to the place where I finally set that pride to the side and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That old devil, he said, you can't do it. He kept telling me time and time again. I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that night. I went down to Victory Baptist Church. It was having an old-fashioned tent revival. I had an ideal that night to go get saved, and I wasn't going to tell nobody nothing about it. The Lord had been dealing with me at church, and that devil kept telling me, don't get out of your seat. He said, you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be ashamed. I'm going to tell you, that night I went down to Victory Baptist, my whole idea was I was going to go get saved and not tell nobody nothing about it. And I went in there that night, and I sat down in that old metal chair, and I sat there about 5 minutes, and my pastor come walking in, and he sat down right in front of me, and the old devil got on my back again. He said, you can't get saved now. He said, you're a church member over there at Beulah Baptist Church. He said, you're going to disappoint your pastor. You're going to embarrass him. He's going to be ashamed of you. But I'm going to tell you something. I finally set that pride to the side that night, and I reached up there and I grabbed Brother Dwayne. I said, Brother Dwayne, I said, I'm lost on my way to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't get ashamed. He didn't get embarrassed. He jumped up out of his seat and he said, praise the Lord. He said, praise the Lord. And I hit that ground that night, and I went down a dead man on my way to hell, and I come up a live man on my way to heaven. And I'm telling you here today that I've got eternal life through Jesus Christ, through the blood. Not because of nothing Dwayne did or I did, but because I set that pride aside and asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Word of God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. You can take your name and you can put it right there where it says whosoever. Whosoever. I can take my name, Brother Denny, Brother Wynn. We can put our name right there in that whosoever. I'm telling you tonight, do you know this man tonight? It ain't nothing to play games with. It ain't nothing to play games with. We better be ready. I think we're running out of time, people. I think our Lord's getting ready to come back. He's getting ready to come back just any day now. You look at all these things that are taking place. You look at this ISIS. Look at the way we're treating Israel. Look at all these things you're seeing today, this homosexual marriage going throughout the land today. I'm telling you, I believe the Lord's getting ready to come back. I believe that trumpet's getting ready to sound. Jesus is coming after His church any day now. And I'm telling you, you better be ready to go. You better be ready. I'm ready. I can take you to the place. You know, my only burden tonight is for the lost. It's for the lost. But maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, well, I'm going to put it off a while. I'm going to wait a while. Well, I'll ask you the question. I ask you, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend? Well, turn with me over here to James 4:4. I want to tell you what you are tonight. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I just want to be honest with you what the Word of God says tonight. Over here in James 4:4. Says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. So what's he telling us here today? Basically, if we're not a friend of Jesus, then we're an enemy. You're either with me or against me. I'm telling you here today, that's what he's telling us here today. Are you a friend of Jesus or are you against Jesus? You say, well, I'm a good person. It doesn't matter. Either you're a friend or you're not. Have you been saved? Have you been washed in the blood? This man, like I said, he paid the price upon that cross of Calvary. They took our Lord and Savior, and they whipped him beyond recognition. And they drug him through those trees. They nailed him up out of that cross. He got thirsty. They gave him vinegar to drink, put that crown of thorns upon his head. And he paid that sin debt for you. He paid that sin debt. He died for you. You know, today you say, well, nobody's ever done nothing for me. The Lord done all that for you. And he paid that price for you. And all he wants is for you to be his friend. Now, are you a friend tonight or are you against him tonight? That's what the Word of God is basically telling us there. Either you're a friend or you're an enemy. Which one are you tonight? Which one are you? This man that done so much for you just wants you to be his friend. Just wants you to accept him as Lord and Savior. That's all we got to do today is accept him as our Lord and Savior. Why in the world would you not? Why in the world would you not? Why would anybody want to die and go to that place called hell? What does this world have to offer? What does this world have to offer that would keep you from coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, there's not any drug or anything out there, no pornography or whatever it is today. There ain't nothing out there worth dying and going to hell for, not a single thing. I'm telling you here today, if you got some sin in your life and you're thinking, well, I got to give this up, I got to quit that, I'm telling you here today, you don't give anything up. You come to Jesus Christ the way that you are, and I'm going to tell you, you're only going to gain. You're only going to gain. I remember a time in my life when I had that attitude. Well, if I get saved, I got to quit doing this and I got to stop doing that. I'm going to tell you something today. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I tell you, I love serving the Lord. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than preaching His Word. Nothing I'd rather be doing than telling a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ, about my friend, about the one that paid my sin debt so I don't have to go to hell. I'll tell you tonight, I get excited to tell others about my Savior. I get excited because I'm not going to hell. You say, you're not going to hell. No, I'm not going tonight. I'm not going. You say you know that. I know it. And I'm telling you here tonight, if you don't know, without a shadow of a doubt, if you don't know, I'm telling you, you can have that security. You can have that assurance tonight in knowing that heaven is your home. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, well, preacher, I think I'm saved. I might be saved. Maybe it was this place. Maybe it was that place. That ain't good enough. You better know tonight without a shadow of a doubt. I think about this lady down at the Abbey de Manor. We go in there. And she forgets who we are. She forgets her family. She forgets everything. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time we go in there and I preach, she'll tell me about the day that Jesus Christ saved her soul. She's never forgotten. She's never forgot the day that Jesus Christ saved her soul. And I'm telling you here today, you know if you're saved. You know if you're saved. It ain't none of this guessing to it. You're either saved or you're lost on your way to hell. There is no in between. But the Word of God tells us over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It don't say that you might think you got eternal life. It don't say that you might possibly have eternal life. It says that you may know that you have eternal life. And I'm telling you today that you can know without a shadow of a doubt. You can know today. If you're not 100% sure, I beg you today, don't leave this place without knowing this friend Jesus. Because I'm telling you, he's sitting there with his arms stretched forth today, willing to accept you into that family. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. And I'm telling you here today, nobody has to die and go to hell. Nobody. The sin debt's been paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through His blood today. He loves you today. And I don't want to see none of you. I love every single one of you. I don't know you, but I don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. You know, that rich man, he's still in hell today. Can you imagine just burning and burning and burning for all eternity? It says a bottomless pit. I believe he's just going to be falling for all eternity and burning and burning and burning. And I realize it ain't popular preaching today, but I'm telling you that hell is still real and hell is still the hottest subject in the Bible. And I'm telling you here today, if you're lost, that's where you're headed today. You're on your way to that place today. But there's escape through Jesus Christ, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that you know that you know? That's the main thing tonight. Do you know that you know that you know? That's the question I got for you tonight. Do you know this friend? Do you know him without a shadow of a doubt? If that heart stopped, are you going to heaven? If that trumpet sounds, are you going to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt? If you're sitting here today and there's any doubt, please, I beg you, don't leave this place. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You may be in authority in the church. My pastor, he was a Sunday school superintendent down at Central Baptist. Been in church his whole life, Sunday school superintendent. Missionary came by one night, he went back in, got saved, realized he's lost. I'm telling you right now, you better know without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know that you know that you know? Or maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, well, preacher, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. I pray that every one of you saved. I pray that you're all on your way to heaven. But what are you doing about it? You say, what do you mean, preacher? How many people around us are dying and going to hell? When's the last time you had a burden and you cried out to God for that lost loved one out there that was dying and going to hell? When was the last time that we took time to go away from our ball game? We took time to get away from the internet or away from our phone or whatever it is and get on our knees and cry out to God for that one that's dying and going to hell? When was the last time we took time out? You know, it seems like today, everybody today you talk to is so busy. We're so consumed in all the things of this world, all the things that our kids has got going on, all the things today, that Nosebook I called or Facebook or whatever. We ain't got time to do anything for the Lord today. We're too busy. But I'm telling you here today that we've all got loved ones that are dying and going to hell. And I'm telling you today, Lord still answers prayers. We need to utilize the altars in the churches today. We need to cry out to God. We need to hit these altars and cry out to God for that one that's dying and going to hell. A lot of times we'll come to church and say, remember them in prayer. Remember them in prayer. And we'll go out them doors and we don't have time to study. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to do nothing for the Lord all week. But I'm telling you here today, the Lord's still saving souls in 2015. The Lord's still answering prayers. And I believe if we get a true burden, we can see. We can see revivals in 2015. We can see souls saved. In 2015, we hear so much about the old days. We hear so much about the revivals of the old days. We hear about them old gray-haired ladies that used to hit around the altar and cry out to God. Well, I'm telling you here today, the Lord ain't changed one bit. We're still serving the same God. I'm telling you, we can see those same revivals. We can see those same services. I'm telling you, He's not watered down. We've watered down as Christians. And I'm telling you here today, we need to utilize our altars in our churches. We got churches all around this nation. It's drying up today. And I'm telling you, when your altars dry up, your church is going to dry up. We need to get around the altars and cry out to God and pray for that one that's dying and going to hell today. We need to quit playing church. We need to get serious. We need to get on fire again. Because I'm telling you, we're serving the same Lord. He's not changed one bit. We can still have that same excitement in our churches. We can have that same fire, those same revivals today if we'd just be willing to put a little bit into it. Whatever we're going to put into it, we'll get out of it. But you know, I just pray tonight if you're sitting here, most of all, if you don't know this man Jesus as your friend, please don't leave this place. Or maybe you got somebody on your heart tonight. Please just take a few extra minutes and pray for him. Take a little extra time this week and pray for him. Find that secret place. And pray for him. Cry out to God for that one that's dying and going to hell. If you ain't got nobody to pray for, pray for my family. I got loved ones in my family that I believe if they died tonight would go to hell. I'm telling you tonight, we need to be praying more. We need to be praying. But you know, that's all I've got tonight. I'd just like to ask you,